News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Well, joining me now in studio, Conor Faulkner, transport commentator and consultant to the RIAC. I expected a bedraggled Conor Faulkner to come in. It's lashing rain in the capital, but he's looking spry and fit and well and dry.
Yeah, and dry. And the reason is I cheated. I took the car this morning. We were planning to talk about traffic and a piece of serendipity. It turns out to be authentically rotten traffic morning in Dublin. Lashing rain in the capital. For me, a 20-minute cycle took over an hour in the car. People stranded at bus stops. What's happening? Well, the schools are back, which we were going to talk about. We've also had very severe rain in Dublin this morning. And the Lewis has had power problems affecting both Lewis lines.
Now, the latest tweet says all services have been restored. But earlier this morning, the red line was only going as far as Smithfield, not going into the centre of Dublin. And of course, it's already blocked from Dockland because of the fire there. And then the green line stopping, I think, in O'Connell Street or Stephen's Green and not going on to Broombridge. A drop of rain.
A drop of rain. Well, I'm not sure what explains Lewis's problem this morning.
Power outages, they said.
Yeah. It does highlight our vulnerability, though, doesn't it? And look, it's September. September catches people by surprise every year when the schools go back and suddenly we get a return to traffic. But we're reminded that, we have an awful lot to do in this city. We're the third most congested city in Europe, according to the INRIX global measure. It's London, Paris, Dublin. I mean, how ridiculous is that for a city of 1.5 million people? We lack basic public transport capacity and we suffer for it. Now, we were going to say, before traffic this morning, that actually the pattern is a little different now post-pandemic. There's a couple of things that have happened there. The whole working from home phenomenon has sort of taken the heat
so
out of
it should not ever return to the way it was.
And it's not quite as bad as 2019 yet. But nevertheless, we also have population growth in the city.
Today is Wednesday, and this is important because the people who are allowed to work remotely, normally if they're taking days off, 2 days off, they'll take the Monday and the Friday and they'll work Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah, well, so Wednesday is kind of the new Monday, and you can see that in terms of traffic patterns. Now, most of the schools are back. Since 2022, post-pandemic, they've had a bit more flexibility on how to meet their day requirements, which has meant that they could open in sort of staggered numbers the last couple of weeks of August. But next Monday is the 1st of September, and that should mean that everybody is back. And then I think we'll see the new autumn pattern. And the biggest bit of congestion will be Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. But nevertheless, we will see our cities in all their vulnerability when it comes to
congestion and transport. And it's not just Dublin. I mean, we talk about the capital all the time because the bulk of the workforce might be centred around the capital, but Galway is brutal.
On a per capita basis, Galway is almost certainly even worse than Dublin. Galway also features on that INRIX list of global cities. And given the scale of it is absolutely absurd that it should suffer so much from traffic. But it's even more car dependent than our other cities. If we'd done our job right 20, 30 years ago, there'd be 2-3 Lewis lines in Galway and would have been for years. There'd be a metro in Dublin, there'd be Lewis's in Cork. So we have to start providing these things or we simply will never get out of this repeating cycle.
There are things that might be done with a little bit of civil engineering. I mean, in other cities you have, particularly in Paris, you have underpasses where a junction has been discovered to be the problem that stops traffic flow. So they build a tunnel underneath to take some of the pressure off that junction.
Yeah. And look, there can be engineering solutions, there can be lifestyle solutions, there can be design and urban planning solutions, and they all tend to get mixed up together. And sometimes, somebody will have a vision of putting a bicycle and bus route through here. And you wonder sometimes if they almost like the fact that it frustrates car use and mitigates against that. Mm-hmm. We don't seem to join it up well or plan it well. But look, Paris has a fabulous metro. London has a fabulous metro. We don't have any such thing.
But if you look at a simple problem in Dublin, for example, the East Link, a single carriageway in each direction going across the River Liffey, even though it's fed by more than that in both directions. I mean, why is there not a second bridge? That bridge has been paid for over and over and over again by the tolls.
Yeah, and they're
why is there a second and not a second bridge?
And they're still collecting the tolls there, yeah. And look, it's a long list of stuff that we could have built. I'll tell you a more positive way to think about it if you're arguing with Michael O'Leary's, for example, as to whether we should do Metro or not. I love the example that Sean from Transport Infrastructure Ireland was giving. Consider the infrastructure we have built, the port tunnel, the M50, etc. How much cash would it take for us to sell that back to somebody? You know, if we had to give up the port tunnel, we wouldn't accept an offer of 5 billion for it. And it cost us 700 million to build back in the day. So we have to build these things, and to do so without just immediately thinking cost benefit, we can do it with buses. We have to build for the future of the city. We're being caught out by the fact that we haven't.
School transport, private buses, etc. should be tax deductible or VAT free. Make it affordable. It'll reduce the numbers of cars on the road. I mean, the idea of free public transport, it might work because it works in other places, but actually our public transport system doesn't have the capacity to carry everyone who would say, yeah.
Yeah, and it's not all about fares. I mean, fares are actually pretty good. It's reliability, consistency, all the stuff that you need.
We are congested because of green-led traffic flow design. The congestion is by design so that we get out of our cars. But that's not happening because public transport sucks and is often, as you say, they're kind of unreliable.
Yeah.
Another one, the road traffic management in Kilkenny is a disaster. A new school built on one of the busiest roads in the city, two hospitals and now three huge schools. They have no left turn signals and huge billboards saying no vehicular traffic signs. A disaster in the area. So lots of problems.
You do worry about that. You do worry sometimes that like urban design is worsening the situation needlessly. And that's deeply frustrating.
Also have decided that in suburban areas now, when they build new apartment blocks, there will be virtually no parking. So everyone, your granny who's wheelchair bound, has got to arrive by bicycle.
Yeah, and look, that's sort of letting ideology twist things out of shape, isn't it? We would love to live in a city where you never need to use the car. We're going to get there not by stamping out car use and stamping out the city in the process. We're going to get there by providing people with quality alternatives.
I wouldn't dream in Paris of owning a car, living in the centre of Paris. Would not dream of it.
You never hired a car in London. Look at a tube map and assume you can get where you want to go. If we're going to achieve that in Ireland, the way you do it is by providing it. Nobody has to be forced to take the Lewis. Nobody has to be forced to take the Dart. When they're good, people will jump on them.
All right. Now, the other topic we have on our agenda today is just a little look at some of the stats on road deaths.
Yeah.
And there's one disturbing statistic, and that's about the number of young people who die on the roads.
Yeah, this has been highlighted by PARC, People Against Road Carnage. People will know Susan Gray. They do great work and they constantly keep road safety in the public eye. And they've been looking at the deaths so far this year. 111 people have died so far this year. That's 5% better than it was last year. But it tells you it's been a grim summer, because in April we were 18% better than 24. Now we're 5% better. So a grim summer. And 37 of those 111 people have been under the age of 30. So it's young people
so
dying.
So disproportionately.
Somewhat disproportionate. Now, if you look at population share, maybe it's not. And I think you always have to be careful of the statistics of small numbers, because they're all tragedies, but it's only a sample base of 111. So difficult to analyse.
Yeah, if there's one extra death when you're looking at a cohort in percentage terms, which is only four deaths, for example.
Yeah.
You know, going from four to five becomes a 25% increase.
Yeah. And if you're led by that, I mean, that can choose you to make bad policy decisions. But nevertheless, I mean, let's flag it. I mean, for example, the worst county in Ireland so far this year for those deaths is Donegal. Now, again, you know, let's not overreach here or overanalyze it, but it does tell you that particularly in the summer just gone, maybe it was the good weather, but we certainly had a dangerous and grim summer on our roads. And I think we have to learn from that.
And then the motorcyclists, the most vulnerable group of people. They represent a tiny fraction of the population, totally disproportionately represented.
Yeah,
you and I
did a feature on that, I remember, a short while ago. 1.4% of the vehicle population and over, what, this year, 19% of the deaths. It's an extraordinary vulnerability. So if you are on two wheels, be a responsible motorcyclist and take all of the safety precautions really seriously.
And that goes to those on two small wheels as well.
Yeah, we've had two e-scooter deaths so far this year, and they are going to turn up in the data going forward as well.
Conor Faulkner, transport commentator, consultant to the RIAC, thank you very much for joining us. Now, still...
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR
on News Talk.